Bekoishel Zohov. And that was just to make the skinning process easier. Vafapishum kvar mevukir mibarev. Even though the Talmud was already checked from the evening before, mevakrinoisoi laavukois. They have to check it again to the light, loer avukois, before they shechted it. So basically, every Talmud needed 4 days of Bikur. Ton Dalad, Yimei Bikur. We learned from Kol Pesach Mitzrayim, every Talmud needs 4 days of checking the Kol. So the Mishnah here seems to be saying that even though they checked it in the evening, they still have to check it again. Lor Avukos. Now the question is, what's the Chiddush in the Mishnah? This is all the Achronim ask. There's a din to check it for 4 days. Why would you think you don't have to check it again before you shecht it? Some learn that they shechted the Kol Tomid on day 5. Okay? They shechted the Korban on day 5. Meaning, it had 4 days of preparation preceding the Yom HaShechita. Because just like Pesach Mitzrayim, they brought the Pesach to the homes on Yud Nissen. Right? So they had Yud, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. And they shechted on Yud Aleph. So they shechted it really the 5th day from when they brought it in. So the Dalad Yimei Bikur excluded the day of Shechita. So if you learn that way, then there's a Chiddush of our Mishnah. Meaning even though they checked it the evening before already, they already completed the 4-day checking. Still, they have to check it again. That's what would come out. Then it's a Chiddush. But if you learn like Tosfos and many of the Rishonim, that the Dalad Yimei Bikur include the day of Shechita, so that means that they didn't check the Korban for 4 days and then shechted on day number 5. They shechted the Talmud on day number 4. Right? So then obviously you have to check it that morning before you shecht it. Why not? That is a din of Dalad Yimei Bikur. Has to be checked for 4 days. You could say Miktsas Hayayim. Miktsas Hayayim Kekulay. Right? Which obviously is the debate. Fine, but why shouldn't you have to check it that morning? It's very strange what's pshat in the Mishnah.
Why do you have to check every day? Check day 1 and day 2?
Because that's the halacha. Dalad Yimei Bikur. 4 days of checking. That's the halacha. Requires, we'll have to understand that better, but I'm just saying, what do you need to check it for, what do you need to check it for 4 days, b'chal? Let me say a different question. If there's a din bikur, the day of, what's the inyan of checking it 4 days before? It makes sense if you checked it 4 days before, you still check it the day of. Maybe something happened. But what in the world is the halach of checking it 4 days before? But whatever the halach is, there's 4 days of checking. So why wouldn't you have to check it that day? So some achrayim want to learn, and it's very difficult to understand that as well. Meaning they checked it the night before. So the night before is already the next day. So really, it's already checked for the 4th day too. That's why the Mishnah says, "Afalpi sheukvar mevukum mibarev." Simple, you learn it just means it's becheskas checked. No, they checked it the night before. So now that already is already today. Last night is today, so it's already checked for the 4th day. So I would think you could go straight to shechita. Kamashmul, you can't go straight to shechita. That's the problem. Problem is that we're dealing here with kodeshim. And by kobonis, the halach is the lila goes after Yom Shulfanov. That's the problem I had with that teretz.
But who says that kodeshim, who says that checking is
totally
in kodeshim? Maybe it's not.
Checking
is time. You check.
Kobon tomid, toon biku. I think it's a kachrim de galoch.
No, but the bikur doesn't have to be checked.
What? The calendar day of a korban is the night follows the previous day by kachim. All rules of kachim, achilas kachim, right? It's not just shchitas kachim. Shchitas kachim, achilas kachim. All the halachas of kachim has a different calendar day than non-kachim. So why in the world would you say that bikur is different? I mean, you could say whatever you want, but I wouldn't say that. Why would you say that? Achila noiser, all the halachas of kachim, halayla hoylech achayim shofonov. What do you mean? I'll tell you a bigger chiddush, Zev. The only reason why you don't have to check the tomid the night before, I'm talking about the first of the 4 days. The biko process starts in the morning. It's because of the halacha of b'kachim halacha chayim. If the halacha would be that biko goes, then you'd need biko the night before the first day, which you don't need. They started the biko process in the morning precisely because b'kachim hayoyim hoylech achalai l'shalachov. So you started the biko process in the morning. Why in the world would you think you don't end the biko process in the morning? The whole thing doesn't work. What made you start it in the morning? Because kachim. So it's kachim. And then the whole thing doesn't work. So it's very, very difficult. It's obvious that the Mishnah is trying to tell you something. Someone is, okay, but anyway, the Mishnah says that you have to be mevaker at loyer avukus. You have to check at loyer avukus. You have to use torches to get enough light to be able to see the korban tomid, to check it properly. Now, that's also l'chayra davar poshet. If it's dark, you need to have light. L'chayra poshet. Now, the Ravid reads this into the Mishnah. If you look at the Ravid here, the Ravid says, Avo pishim mevuka ba'erev, the kaimelon mevakon ha'isei dalad yamin. You need 4 days of checking. So the Ravid tackle this portion of how do you have to check it in the morning? The Ravid doesn't explain it. What's the chiddush in the Mishnah? Okay. Now, if you look at the Lashon HaRambam, very interesting Lashon HaRambam. The Rambam here in Tamidim Musaf in Perek Aleph, when he brings the din of the Mishnah, he says you always had shisha tloim of a korban. They always had at least six sheep in the room of the tloim, because you always need 4 days of checking. So there's always going to be six, because for the next 3 days, excluding today, there'll never be less than six tloim in the lishkas tloim. The Ravid says, "V'yu mukhanim kodim yom akreiv arba yomim, va'af al pisho yom avakr moisim mitchile, lo yoyu shoich din esatomid, ad shem avakr moisim shniya, kodim shchite loy ravukis." Interesting, from the Rambam is mashma that the 4 days you don't have to check it every single day in midrais. You have to check at the beginning of the 4 days and the end of the 4 days. That's the halach. And really, so then according to the Rambam, our Mishnah is saying a gevaldig chiddush. Our Mishnah is saying that you must have a final biker before shchita. The biker process is the beginning of the biker and the end of the biker. When you bring it in and when you shecht it. Don't think... You shouldn't think that you don't need a biker before you shecht it. That last biker has to be the yom hashchita, right before you shecht it. That's what the Rambam learns. So the Rambam seems to be saying there's two things. One is you check the talmud. Then you put it into a room. That's all part of the process to be protected. So it shouldn't get a mum. And then, at the end, before you shecht it, you have to check it again. That's the Lashon HaRambam. The Lachamishnah right here says, "Arba yomim, ba'ad yom hashchita." Like a Mishnah wants to learn that according to the Rambam, there's no hechocha that you need, like Rashi, 4 plus 1. It's 4 days. The fourth day is the day of the Shechita. And is you check it right before the Shechita. That's how he says. Right before the Shechita, you check. Now, the Teres Kahanim, let me just pull it up for you. Teres Kahanim, on this halach of Bikur, brings down Tomim Yakrivenu, says the Teres Kahanim, Yivakrenu V'Yakrivenu. You have to check it and check it, which fits with our Mishnah. The main Bikur is at the end, right before you check the carbon Tomit. Omar Rabbi Yosi, Shamati, Im Sheikh Tim Tomit B'Shabbos and Im Mavuka Chayiv Chatos. The Tomit is possible. If you didn't check it right before you check it, Korban Tomit is possible, because it says Tomit has to be checked, and therefore he says you Chayiv Chatos, because you check it on Shabbos, Shaloi Kedim. You have to bring another Tomit. That's what he says. Now L'Chayra, this is the Briskrov's kasha. Teres Kahanim is mashma that the checking is part of the halach of Tomit. Tomim has to be whole. It's mashma. If you don't check it, it's becheskes balmum. So the Briskrov says, the Rash Mishan's taka learns like that. If you look at the Rash Mishan's on the Teres Kahanim, he says clearly, Tomim yakrivenu, yivakrenu, you have to check it. Shetzorech liyois Tomim. Has to be Tomim, has to be complete. And therefore, Yivakrenu Koidim Shechita. That's what he says. Now, the Briskrov says, if that's the case, the Briskrov here in Chumash says, if that's the case, so then every carbon should be possible without Bikur. If it's part of the din of Tomim, it can't be a Balmum. Every carbon should be as such. He says, V'yeshul Tmoya. Ketzad Shayich Lemikri Balmum? How could the Teres Kahanim say, Tomim Yakrivenu? That the Tomim has to be whole, that's why you have to do Bikur. Every carbon should be possible done without Bikur. That's not the halach. The halach is every carbon has a Havada, they used to check the carbon. You don't have to. If not, it's like putting on a talus without checking the tzitzis. You're supposed to check the tzitzis before. If you don't check the tzitzis, has a chazaka. So the Briskrov says, if you're going to tell me it's a balmum, Hare Kosher L'Shar Kabonos, Shein Tzrichim Bikur. He says, so what's going on? How's it Shaykh? That's his kash. No, but he's saying the way the Teres Kahanim reads, the Bikur is to facilitate Tomim Yakriven. See, he's saying, if that's what it's about, then it should be possible by all kosher. But no, it's only possible by Korban Tomit. That's the Briskrov's kash.
Maybe because Korban Tomit is brought every day, it's not a din in it, but it's what you should do. You bring me the same animal twice a day, every day of the year, so you won't check it. So he's fine and says, oh, but that year you do have to check. The other Korban is, you bring an usher, you bring a chatas, that for sure you're going to check anyway.
That's not the point. The point is, if you don't check it, it's still kosher. That's the Briskrov's kosher. If you're going to tell me it's possible, me din tomim should be possible by all kabbanis. Every carbon, the balmum is possible. That's his kosher. Lamaisa Tosis in Sukkah also brings down a very similar idea that if you shech the carbon sheini mavuka kill chosay by a carbon tomim, you're not yaitze. Tosis says klar. Fahafilu nimzotam, mishum shetoin dalid yimei biko koidim shechita. That's what Tosfos says. For lochein, afilu in bikoi biyom shechitos epos, which is lachar pasha like that. It's another kasha, like the Briskrov's kasha, which is, if you're going to tell me that biko is because otherwise it's a balmum, so if you checked at the yom shechita, how could it be possible? You mavatal, let's say you mavatal the mitzvah of checking it for 4 days. True. But now I checked it the morning of. Our Mishnah Paskins, you have to check it the morning of. And I checked it and it was Tommy. So how could it be possible? If the whole din of Bikur is to facilitate Tomim Yakrivenu, so how could it be possible if you checked it before the Shechita, which you have to do anyway? You have to check it before Shechita. Huh? Anybody, why do you need Dalad Yom? He's saying, why is the Dalad Yom Bikur possible? The Rambam says you have to check at the beginning of the 4 days, and you have to check at the end of the 4 days. Fine. It's a bit better kasha. Tosfos is saying clearly that even if you checked it the day of the Shechita, it's still possible. So when we say a Tomet Sheni Mevukar is possible, it doesn't just mean you didn't check it the day of. If you checked the carbon Tomet that wasn't checked day one, day two, day three, it's possible. Even though you checked the day four, right before Shechita was kosher, still possible, because now Mevukar Kilchazer. If you're going to learn, like the Teres Kahana, that to hold and to check it should be a Tomim. So what's going on? The whole thing of the Chapela. So that's why I think that the way you have to learn this is, it's really not Shver. Once we're Maimik Mourns, I think it becomes very clear. We find in Aloha, sometimes you have something as a Simen, sometimes something as a Sibet. And sometimes the Torah makes the simen into a sibah. So for instance, a behema has simonim that make it kosher. Simonim, behema, simonim that make it kosher. Lamaisa, the chinuch says, there's a din to check those simonim, to make sure that those simonim are there. Right? It's the biku of the simonim. Now, chinuch says, if you eat an animal that you didn't check if it has the simonim, you mevatel mitzvah deraisa of zoysachaya shatechel, that you have to check the simonim. Without checking the simonim, you can't eat it. We spoke about this by fish, the fins and scales. Even if you have another simon, that this has to be a kosher fish, but you weren't mafchen al yidei snapper for kaskeses, you mevatel mitzvah deraisa. Because the Torah said, this is the way to verify. See, even though it's a verification, the Torah now makes that a mitzvah. So now, I have another way to verify that it belongs to that category. True. But you still mevatel the mitzvah d'oraisa. That the Torah said, it has to be verified this way. This is the way to verify. Yeah, but I proved that it was it. Yes, say in a chanami. If the whole reason for the simon is just to prove, that's it. But once the Torah made it into a mitzvah on its own, that you have to be mevarel this way, now if you're not mevarel, you're mevatel a mitzvah. And that's takad alaha. And that's why you can't use other simonim. Sefer HaChinuch says if you find other ways to prove the animal's kosher, that it's from that species, it doesn't work. The only time you could eat an animal without simonim is the sugi we had in Bechoris, Yoytze min atome, tome, Yoytze min atore, tore. Because there you're using the simonim of the mother. That's also called using the simonim. It's using the simon of the mother, Yoytze min atome, tome. But you must use simonim. You must use simonim. So if you found an animal running around where you couldn't verify its simonim, even though you had a way to make a genetic testing and prove that it belongs to this species, it won't work. Even though l'chayr it's only a simon. Yeah, but the Torah made the simon into a sibah. Okay. A bal mum is pasul v'akhov. Which mumim? So there's mumim that pasul behemah. There's mumim that pasul oif. Right? It's a blemish. Why is it a blemish? Because the Torah said, an animal that's lacking in this way is pasul for the mizbeach. Now it's a bal mum. That makes it pasul. Now a goy doesn't have the regular mumim that we have. It's different mumim. Chusur Eva. That was the whole story of Kamsa about Kamsa. Right? The Doikin Shabbai. By a goy, that's not a mum. What does that mean, it's not a mum? You're allowed to shecht it as carbon oil. It's a regular carbon oil. But by a goy, the Torah didn't passel this mum. Now, I ask you a question. So what is it? It's not a bal mum. What do you mean it has the same crack that by us is a mum? True. But by a goy, it's not a mum. So the blemish of a mum, it's true, it's physical, But it's the blemish is halachic. It's not that, oh, there's a crack here or there's a broken leg here. The Torah said that the behemoth that lacks in this way is possible. For Yisrael, this is the halacha. For a goy, this is the halacha. What's lacking for Yisrael is not called lacking by a carbon of a goy. What's lacking by a behemoth is not lacking by a bird. The bird could have the same blemish. By an oif, it's not possible. Has to be mechusar evam. Okay? By an oif, it's not possible. What does that mean? It has the same crack. Yeah, it's same bread. By an oif, it's not lacking. The Torah came by a tomit. And the Torah said by a tomit, it has to have biku dalad yom. The animal has to be checked for 4 days before the hakovet that it's clean from a mum. Now, in as much that it's lacking in that biku, it has a blemish. The blemish is that it's missing biku. You tell me, yeah, but 1 second. But I checked it the day of and there's no mum. Yeah. But that doesn't make it valid as a kol. By a tomit, there's an added. The Torah could have said, the tomit has to be red, like a por adum. Now, if it's not red, it's possible. Now, that's a blemish. That's the blemish that the Torah was machadish. By tomit, the Torah was machadish that the biko, the lack of biko, is a chsaron in the kol tomit. Now it's possible. It's possible. So the Torah's kind of is just saying that since it's learned out of the pasuk of Tomim, so it's a psul mum. Ah, you'll tell me, what do you mean? But it doesn't have a mum. It does. The mum is that it's not mavuka. That's the mum by a kom tomit. The mum is that it's not mavuka. And memele, now our sugi is givaldik. Be'emes al-tzulchus chazoke. Al-tzulchus chazoke. The night before would suffice to say it's zichah to get a mum by the next morning. Right? But al the mitzvah of biku, you have to check it again. So you're doing it again. Now, you may say, well, since it's only din biku, how thorough does the biku have to be? Al the mum abachazoka, it's not a problem. The chiddush of our Mishnah is that since really this animal has a chazoka gemura, and if this was another kom, you could lechatchila shecht it this way. You checked it before the night before, you put it into a room. You could shecht it lechatchila like this. But here we have our gzeres hakosav al tomid, has to be mevuker. Right? So, who says the beaker has to be scrutinized that it doesn't have a mum? Just look it over. No, or avukos. Says the Mishnah here, even though you checked it the night before, now by another kom, this would be considered b'cheskas eini balmum. And the whole psul of eini mevukeh is chsaron mum. Comes our Mishnah and says, no. The halach of biku requires checking for a mum. Ki'ilu, there's a suffix. You're not yotze biku by looking at the animal. And that's why it ends by saying, la'or avukas. Lora Avukas, they asked this kasha, it's Lora Avukas. Because that's really the main chiddush of the Mishnah. The chiddush of the Mishnah is that based on the Torah's Kahanim, any animal that's not checked from Mumim is by a Tomit is considered a Baal Mum. And the Mela, the checking has to be on the level that you, after the checking you can affirm there's no Mum. Even though it already has a Chazaka that it's not a Baal Mum. But that's not enough. Even chazok is the raisa, you could kill on chazokas, you could. But for tomid, the checking makes it into a tomid. Without it being checked, it's not a tomid. And Mela, the Torah's Kahanim and Tosis is on one page.
What would be the minor check?
You look over the animal. It looks whole. Do I have to scrutinize the ree of the animals? It's time to look at the animal, that it looks shlemos. Was it then now I have to look at it ki'ilu amamish choishish that there's a mum here? With the full scrutiny of a regular, normally you have a chazoke, you do bikur ba'alme. No. The checking is a din that you have, in order for the Talmud to be kosher, It has to be checked in a way, ki'ilu there's a sofik mum. And if you didn't check it that way, it's puzzle, even if there wasn't a mum. Without any scrutiny. Being mitzar of the fact that there's a chazoka here. There's a chazoka that it's not a bomb. No, you could check an animal when it's light enough to look at the animal, and you could see, you could come to a conclusion. But you can't come to, you're not scrutinizing your bedikah. That's what the Mishnah is saying. Without a full, even though the animal now is 100% becheskes baduk, it was checked the night before. Still and all, it's possible. So really, I think that there's no machloikis rishonim. I think the Rambam and all the shittas go in one sheet. And the psul is ba'amun. Ah, you'll tell me it doesn't have a mum. That whole premise is wrong. First thing is not a ba'amun. Briskov's kasha. Briskov's asking, what do you mean? If it will be a ba'amun, it should be puzzled. That's like asking, how could the oil of a guy be kosher with a dike and shabai and it's a ba'amun? It's not a ba'amun, because the Torah didn't require it. By Talmud, the Torah raised the bar. Just like you have an animal that's kosher, but you can't check the simonim. It's treif. Why is it treif? I know it's a cow. Yeah, but the Torah said it has to be checked with simonim. Simple. Okay, so the Mishnah says like this. So they took, the halacha was, you had to check it. Lawyer Avukes. Now, Misha Zocho, Betomid, the one who was there in the Talmud, Moshchoi, for Yochel Beis Mitbachayim, he goes to the place of the Shechite. Misha Zocho, Beivom, Moshchoi, Moshchoi, Beis Mitbachayim. That's where they used to shech the Kobonos. Beis Mitbachayim was Tzvayni Shom Mizbech, was the north side of Mizbech. For all of Shmoyna Amudim Nanasim, there were 8 pillars, like small, low pillars, where they would actually do the shechita. Over there was revoim shel erez al gabeim. It was 8 pillars with boxes on top of it to hang the behemoth. Van kolioi shel bazel, they had hooks made out of metal, hoyu kfuim, ushloish dorim. They had 3 rows of hooks, different levels of hooks, because depending on the size of the animal, how high it would be hanging. Shloishas dogim ayu b'kol echad. Shebehem toilim. That's where they would hang the comb to skin it after shechita. So obviously it depends if you have parim, elim, or kvasim. Parim were the largest animals. They hang it on the highest hook. The elim were second. They would put it on the second hook. And kvasim, the smallest animals, were on the lowest hook. They were basically sized accordingly. Umav shita noisi al shulchon eshol shayish ben amudim. Whoever was zeicher in doing the dishon mizbeach apnimi and the menorah, hoyu magdimin. They would go in there first. Talat kelim biyodam. They had 4 kelim, the teni, the kuz, and the 2 keys. Shtei maftechus. Teni is a tarkev, demel a tarkev. It's like a large basket. Shel zohav. Machzik kabayim v'chatzi. It would be able to hold a 2.5 kav. Hakuz was a jug, doyme lekita in gadol shalzav. And then the 2 keys, shtei maftechas, they were 2 keys. 2 keys opened up the 2 doors that went into the hechel. Echad yered la'mas hashachi. One little door would open up, and then you would stick your hand in there, put your arm all the way in, and then there was a second opening. And that opening, ve'echad peseach, the second one, he would open up, right? That would be the second. There's like 2 doors to open up the door. You'd open up the little door, and then you'd stick your hand in and open the second door to get the thing open. Boloi l'pishpei sh'atzvayni. He came through the pishpei sh'atzvayni, the northern opening. Shnei pishpei sh'noi lo yishar ha'godol, echa b'tzof v'echa b'dorim. There were 2 openings to the large shar ha'godol of the hechel. Echa b'tzof v'echa b'dorim, one in north, one south. Shebedorim, the southern one, lo yinichlas adam meyelam, he never opened it up. All of them before shali de yecheskel v'emzah shar sogor yeh lo yiftas. Lo yipaseach, yecheskel navi writes, that would never open ish lo yovei b'kim ha-shem l'kei Yisrael b'boi, for your sogor it stayed closed. Notol mafteach, pasach has ha-pishpesh, v'nichnas l'toy, went into the entrance of the hechel, me'atol ha-hechel, ad shemigil shah ha-godl. The large gate, higil shah ha-godl, heavy as ha-nagar, he picked up the bracket, Vesapoisachas, and to open it, the lock, uposchoi. That was machshir the korm. You can't shech the korm until the Shara Azorah opens up. They would open up the gate of the Azorah, and then they'd be allowed to shech the tomet. Loi hoya, ha-sheichet sheichet, ha-she-shemeya sha-agodol she-niftach. There was an iser to shech the korm tomet, not only an iser, it was posel, to shech the korm tomet before the opening of the gates. Mi-richoi, ho-yu-shoimin, kor-sha-agodol she-niftach. So now the Mishnah goes through that Yerichoi, they heard all the sounds of Yerushalayim. So they heard the sound of the gate, even though Yerichoi was actually 10 parsa away from Yerushalayim. It's a tremendous distance from Yerushalayim. They would hear Shach HaGadol Sheniftach. B'Yerichoi Yerushalayim in Kol HaMagrefe. They would hear the Kol HaMagrefe, that was an instrument that was playing. Yericho Yishayim in Kol HaCholol, the flute. Yericho Yishayim in Kol HaTzilzol. Sheyamakish ben Arza. Yericho Yishayim in Kol HaShir, they heard the song of the Levim. Yericho Yishayim in Kol Gvini Kruz, they heard the sound of Gvini, who was the one who woke up to Kohanim. He would call up. Yericho Yishayim in Kol HaShir, ben Kod Mukhni Lakiya. Yericho Yishayim in Kol HaShayfer, they heard the shayfer that they used to blow every day in Beis HaMikdash. Really fascinating that all these things were heard in Yerichoi. V'yeshaimrim, af koyle shol kohen gadol, maskes Hashem b'yom HaKippurim. And Yerichoi, hoyu merichim reich pitam haktoras. In Yerichoi, they heard the sound, they were able to smell the smell of the ktoras. Amal azbendig loy, izim hoyu la'abba bari ha-machvo. My father had goats. For all you misatches, they would sneeze. So this is all a big question. What's pshat in this part of the Mishnah? Does the Mishnah mean, simply you read the Mishnah, it means that these sounds were so powerful that they went for 10 paus. So in Yerichoi they heard it, meaning up until Yerichoi, including Yerichoi, from Yerichoi on, they didn't hear it. That was a simple reading of the Mishnah. The only thing is, why did they use Yerichoi as a symbol? So the Ravid by us brings down, if you look at the Ravid, it's in the back, the Ravid by us brings down from his Rebbe, Moiri Arav, he says a tremendous Chiddush. He says, the Olam remembers me because I gave Shion this when they gave back Jericho, when Eretz Yisrael, part of Eretz Yisrael that they gave back to the Arabs, jurisdiction, was Jericho. They were very quick to do it. Felt that was like totally Arab land anyway, and that they gave back, and they felt. So I brought down this Ravid. The Ravid says that Yerichoi had Kedushas Yerushalayim. Can you imagine? He says this was all a miracle. Only Yerichoi. Meaning they didn't smell the Ketores between Yerushalayim and Yerichoi. Then he says the sounds of the Levium, they didn't hear. It was only Yericho. And he says, the Ravid says an interesting thing. He says, because it has Kedusha like you. Obviously, it's not Yerushalayim. You can't imagine Sheni there. Kenny Kotram Kalam there, obviously. But he says, Mimnei Sheyesh Bo Ktsas Kedusha Kemo Yerushalayim. So therefore, these Nisim happen, Kedei Sheyargishu, so they should know, they should feel that they have Kedusha there. It's unbelievable. It's a miracle. He says, why? He says, the Ravid says a rule. Every Rashis has Kedusha. Chuma is Rashis. The first thing you mafresh from the grain has Kedusha Chuma Gedela. Right? It's Rashis. The Oimer is the Rashis of the Zohar, right? The ratios of the chitim for the mikdash. Every ratios, a bechor, is a ratios. All ratios, the Torah gave kedusha to the ratios. So he learns that Yerichoi was ratios of Eretz Yisrael. So it was the truma. This is what the Ravid says. It was the truma of Eretz Yisrael, so it had kedusha kamo Yerushalayim. And therefore, they were able to be malgish in Yerichoy, these things of Yerushalayim, so they should know as such. Now, not only did Yericho have kedusha like Yerushalayim, to a certain degree, they have more kedusha in Yerushalayim. Mamosh was taking kedusha. It was aser. It was aser to rebuild Yericho. It was a cherem. They made Yericho into a cherem. It was also to benefit from Yericho. It was also to rebuild Yericho. It had the biggest mamoshes of kedusha, which what Michal was trying to say. Has the highest level of kedusha. More Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is mutabahana. Yericho is also bahana. Right? They were not allowed to rebuild Yericho. It was a cherem. Yeshua ben Nun put a cherem on Yericho.
So why didn't have such kedusha then?
Huh?
So why is it that the smell went there and the sounds went there? If you're not allowed to rebuild it.
It's not a question of rebuilding it. That territory had kedusha. So Hashem made that the miracle of the kedushas of the Beis HaMikdash extended there to Yericho. It was all miraculous. That's what he learns. That's how the Ravid learns. The Tosfos Yom Tov Peyos doesn't learn that way. Tosfos Yom Tov learns the Mishnah Kepshutai. It went all the way till Yericho. But I want you to know there's a lot of riyas to that, to what the Ravid is saying. Not that the Ravid needs riyas. Because Doish Nashol Yericho, the outside of Yericho, the Tchum of Yericho, you were allowed to build. And when they divided Eretz Yisrael, so Chazal say they made a decision that the doishin of Yericho, which could be used, should be given to whoever gets the Beis HaMikdash. They made that a package. Right? The same idea. They made a package that the Tchum of Yericho goes together with the Beis HaMikdash. Why would they do that? What's the Shaychas? If you learn like the Tosfos Yom Tov, that this was not a neis. This is just how far the sound went. So then, no, it did. According to Tosfos Yom Tov, this is how far it expanded. Yericho was just used as an example. Yericho was used as an example. Yeah, that's all. Now you should know, some Rishonim learn that Ben Digloi's, where he says, Arei HaMachvar, was actually closer. Okay? Because it was only 8 parsa from Yerushalayim. Which would be another riot to the Ravid. Because he comes and he says, you should know in my father's farm, the animals in Beis Machvar, they would sneeze, they felt the smell of the Keteres. The Mishnah already said Yericho. No, the Mishnah already said Yericho. It's closer than Yericho. The Torah says, according to the Ravid, it's Gevaldik. Yericho, that was miraculous. Now he came and he said, and how far did the smell actually go? To where my father's farm was. That was not a miracle. Then it flows. Okay. Says, wow. That's from his time up, all part of what the Ravid is building up. To me, the Raya from Chazal is a Moira Dikaraya. The fact that they gave the Doshin of Yericho together with the Beis HaMikdash to me is a Moira Dikaraya. That obviously Yericho is not just a marker, it's associated with Yerushalayim. Okay. Zokta Vaito says the Mishnah. Misha Zocha B'dishim is Bechapni Minichnas Venokal Satani Vinich Lefono Voyachoifin Venoisin Lesoichoi. He would take his hands and put it inside. This already was cooled down. This was the Mizbech HaPnimi. Ubach Reino. And afterwards, Kibet es Hashar, he would sweep up the rest of the Desh and L'Soichoi into the Teni, Vihi Nichoi, and he would put it by the Hechel, the Yotza. He would go out. Okay. Now we come to Atovas HaNeres, which is written in the Pasuk. So the Mishnah says that this mitzvah of Atove would be Shazach Abedishon Amener and Nichnas, Motzah Shtei Aneres Mizrachim Dolkim, Midashin as Ashari would clean out the rest, Miniach Haseilu Dolkim Bim Koimah. This is all if they're on. If they're not on, Motzon Chekovu, Medashlon, Umadlikon, Menadluki. So it comes that there was a din Adloke, the menorah, even in the morning. Not just at night. There was Adloke done in the morning. Rav Shlomo Katz Mivil in his Tshuvas, he says this is the mocker of lighting Neiris and Shul in the morning. Al Zeichel LeMikdash, because the Mikdash Taker, there was a din Adloke in the morning. And then he would light the rest of the Neiris after he did that. Okay. The Evan Hoysel of Neamanoira, Bashal Shmalas, there were three steps. The coin would stand. He would put the kuz there, and he would go out. Okay, next parak. Loi hoyu koifsin asatle. Elom akidin oise. So we find here when they did the tomit, they obviously had to lock it in for the shechita, so they wouldn't tie it up as four legs together. Elom akidin oise. Okay, this is a big machlokes rishon. What does makidin oise mean? Does it mean they tied hand and leg together, which is simply the way we'll see in the Gemara? That's a simple pshat. Or the Rambam, in the Pirush Mishnayos, by us, learns they held the hand and legs together. They didn't even tie it at all. They didn't tie it at all. That's the way the Rambam Pirush Mishnayos says. Now the Gemara gives two reasons why they did it. Why they didn't tie all four legs together. Truth is 10:20. You know, I'm going to give you my makimis now for next week. It's too late. Okay, so if the Olam, first of all, could go through the Mishnah before, so we can start the sugya, the Mishnah is really quite simple. So we're going to do all the Gemara in this Mishnah. So I would ask the Olam to finish the Mishnah on your own. I don't mind reading it, but the way it's been going, it's going to probably take the whole shit just to read the Mishnah. So, and I just want to give you some Ma'al Mekemes for the Shia, the Rambam. Obviously, to look up the Rambam, as I said, the Rambam and Pirush Mishnayos, and also, let me give you the Rambam and Halachos. So basically, go through the Mishnah, the Rampirsh Mishnayos, and the Rosh on the Mishnah. And then, just pulling up the Rambam for you, I'm sorry. Okay, Hilchos Tmidim U'Musafim Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph and Beis. Also wanted to look up Chazon Ish. Let me just pull up the Chazon Ish. Here, Chazon Ish is in Menachos, Simen Lamed Vov. And then a Rambam in Perek Vov, Tmidim U'Musafim, Halacha Beis. So Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph and Beis, Tmidim U'Musafim. Perek Vov, Halacha Beis, Pirush Mishnayos on the Mishnah. And a Chazon Ish in Menachos, Simen Lamed Vov. And that would be it. Okay, Shkech, thank you.